Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Carnival Cruise Lines is cracking down on troublemakers on board, and airlines are warning a new congressional bill could put your miles earning power in jeopardy. Their explanation, however, is full of BS. Those stories next in the travel news.
Our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:20 addresses the issue of fake texts telling you that you owe a toll fee and horrible things are going to happen if you don't click here and pay up. Well, we'll help you know how to avoid getting taken by fake tolls.
Chris Elliott continues to roam the planet, reporting back on the issues he finds along his journey. In addition to Hong Kong and Taiwan updates, today he talks about why some tourists are behaving worse than ever. Our interview with Chris comes up at 11:35.
Last week, we told you how some airlines are pricing travel for two cheaper on a per-ticket basis than buying individual tickets. Well, a week later, there's been some changes, and we have an update at 11:50.
Making you a smarter traveler every time you listen, we thank you for joining us on The Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Welcome, my friends, to another edition of the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano here with you. Thanks for coming along. Don't forget now, links to our special guests and so much more can always be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark, hope you're well. What kind of a week have you had?
A good week. And now out on old historic U.S. 50 and the Lincoln Highway, you know, it is this stretch of road across Nevada has been nicknamed America's loneliest highway. And basically the Nevada section, Ely, Austin, Eureka, Nevada, not Eureka, California, and on into Fallon and Carson City, really is, if you're somebody who likes off the beaten track, then this is your place. There's a train ride in Ely. There are all kinds of different things. I'll tell you something that we do, Tom, on this trip that I don't know if there are any other tour operators who do this, but Nevada, of course, for many years, prostitution has been legal in Nevada. And there are bordellos, and there are places that, you know, everybody is tested, and it's all above board and legal and stuff like that. So when we go on this trip to Nevada, we take our people to one of the bordellos in the afternoon before it opens. So the madam can show them around, give them an idea of what goes on there and, you know, how much it costs and how it all works. So
I find that so fascinating. As a lot of folks know, your average traveler, generally speaking, oftentimes is a woman, you know, mature travelers and a lot of women. And do they kind of enjoy seeing what's going on behind the scenes? Is that right?
They would never admit it before they went in, but I will tell you, having done 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 of these over the years, that there are very few women who are not curious to at least what the inside of the place looks like.
Sure.
And, you know, just how it all works. And once they get in there, they ask the most interesting, or at least my travelers do, ask the most interesting questions of the madam and stuff like that. So it's really quite educational, but there is some danger. I remember the last time we were there 5 or 6 years ago, we go in the afternoon before the customers and most of the ladies arrive, and the madam shows us around. And so it gets close to opening time, and we're in a room, and the lady is explaining things, and I turn around to leave the room, and somebody has come in and turned the TV sets on in every room. And, of course, the TV sets in a bordello are not showing the Today Show.
Uh-huh.
So I turn around and I think, oh my God, all of my people are going to turn around and this is going to be the first thing they see when they before they walk out the door. So I quickly got out to the front and got the TV sets turned back off. So there is a little bit of risk there. But nonetheless, it's interesting. If you travel with Sports Leisure Vacations, you just never know where you're going to go.
All right. Well, we'll be fascinated to hear the hear a little more about it when you return in a week or so. All right, we are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and at the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we bring you up to date on the travel news. And with today's edition of the Travel News, once again, here's Mark.
If you're going to Amsterdam this summer, There's a museum in Amsterdam. The Rijksmuseum in Amsterdam has an interesting souvenir. Tom, I guess this is total coincidence that I was just talking about what I was talking about. This is supposed to be, this is a 200-year-old condom with illustrations on the side. It is thought to be a brothel souvenir and was likely made from a sheep's appendix around 1830. So, you know, if you go to Amsterdam, you can always find something a little bit different than you find anywhere else on the planet. So you can go. The museum has a whole bunch of – it's a large exhibit on bordellos and the like. And so if you're going to Amsterdam, see what is suspected to be the world's oldest condom.
I have nothing to say.
I just – I wanted to pause in case you had something that you wanted to share.
I don't know what it would be.
I'm not sure either. Listen, we've talked a lot about it on this program about how international travel is going to be off this year. The numbers continue to come in. I don't want to spend all day on it, but Air Canada's CEO was on CNBC Wednesday. He said that 22% of their business comes from the United States and that leisure travel is off about 15%, business is off about 10%. So those numbers are lower than what we've been talking about. However, he was quick to point out that this just involves air crossing the border. He said there are a number of major border crossing points in the between the United States and Canada, and they continue to see a 30 to 35% drop in the number of people coming from Canada to the United States, virtually no drop in the number of people going from the United States to Canada. Wallet Hub this week tackled the 2025's best hotel rewards programs. I found this to be marginally interesting. Choice Privileges is at the top.
I don't know.
Choice
who they,
Hotels. Yeah.
Oh, which, Choice. Choice Hotels.
Yeah, Choice Hotels, yeah. Which is two and a half, three diamond properties, most of them. Choice Hotels, Comfort Inns, things like that. I mean, there's not anything wrong with them. They just don't really have a premium-type property. However, what is really interesting to note is that they surveyed nine frequent guest programs. And you know how we're always teasing on this program about how many people consider Hilton Honors, they call them Hilton Pesos because they are worth so little. Guess which program came in ninth out of nine hotel frequent
Hilton
guest program.
Pesos.
Yeah. Hilton was scraping the bottom of the barrel here. So even World of Hyatt, Wyndham Rewards, Drury Rewards, which is a chain that's mostly in the Midwest, Best Western Rewards rated higher than Hilton. So for those of you who are members of Hilton Honors and are aspiring someday to stay in a big fancy resort using your Hilton Honors points, good luck to you on that.
All right. I see the Drury. When I went there a lot, San Antonio, Texas area.
Yes.
There, there's a lot of them there. Look like nice places.
They are. They're. I call them like Best Western Plus. Mm-hmm. And most of the properties for Drury are pretty new, so they're fairly clean and they're consistent. The only thing about Drury properties is they tend to build them right next to major freeways. So
this
be
is
careful.
True. Yeah.
Be careful because you could get a room that literally is facing a 8 or 10 way expressway. I'm thinking of a hotel near the St. Louis airport that I've stayed in, and it's almost impossible to escape the noise. So that's one thing to think of with Drury properties, but mostly in the Midwest. I think there's probably 10 or 12 of them around St. Louis. Also for the guys that do free breakfast in the morning, Hampton and, you know, some of these people, the breakfasts tend to be really, really, really cheap, but Drury's tends to be much better than the others. And they serve a free dinner in the evening. It's a limited, you know, it's one entree and you don't have a lot of selection. But if you're not a picky eater, why, then it's a good value place. And before we spend the whole program talking about a hotel chain, that's not really in California. Carnival Cruise Lines has banned another popular item. I read this. Carnival is really cracking down on people who misbehave on the ship. You're now getting a letter. Everybody gets a letter in their staterooms on embarkation day reminding them of some crucial guidelines from the cruise line's code of conduct. But now this is a little stronger worded. And the letter serves not only as a reminder but a warning that violating cruise line conduct policies will get you fined, disembarked from the ship, and banned from sailing in the future. So Carnival, at least, Tom, and I'm reading more and more on the news feeds that I get, situations where police have been had to be called or have had to meet a ship when it got into port because somebody had to be restrained along the way. So heaven forbid that you get out in the middle of the ocean. Also, this is kind of interesting. Carnival Cruise Lines is banning electric handheld fans from the dance floor. Apparently, some people now are taking handheld fans onto the – I can't imagine why you would do this. Why would you be on a dance floor if you weren't ready to mix it up a little bit?
And get a little hot and sweaty.
Yeah, exactly. And so people apparently bring these battery-operated fans, and some of them are capable of hurting people if they run into them. That's the strangest thing I think I've heard in a long time.
I have to agree. That's you know, we have a little hand fan that we use to cool my granddaughter's food with.
Uh-huh.
And it's got little plastic blades, and even if you ran into it, it wouldn't hurt you. But I have seen a variety of different kinds that people can buy. Maybe you go out to dinner and it's kind of stuffy in the restaurant, and you can set it on the table to kind of cool you down. But being out on the dance floor, that's nuts.
Well, and I've seen people, you know, ladies have this period of their life they go through where they tend to, you know, their temperature, body temperature tends to move around a little bit. So I've seen, you know, ladies who are carrying one of those or something like that, you know, whatever you, sure, exactly. I mean,
whatever the old days of the hand fan, huh?
The handheld fan.
Okay.
All right. So here is last week we talked about Southwest telling people that if you have a portable charger, a lithium battery charger, and you take it on the plane with you, not only do you have to put it in your carry-on luggage, but they want it to be visible to you during the flight because they've had some instances where the batteries have either started smoking, one caught on fire. Sure enough, 24 hours after they instigate the policy, this happens on a Southwest plane. A flight is diverted because a battery started smoking. This was in South Carolina. And fortunately, the passenger was following the rules, the new rules.
Yep.
When it started smoking, they saw it. And so they were able to put it into a box that they have on board the plane,
right,
and quickly divert to the nearest airport, and everybody lived happily ever after.
See, there's smoking. Smoking of any kind is not good for you.
Not good on an airplane.
Yeah. What are you going to do on your flight to whatever? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to watch a movie. No, I'm going to watch my battery.
Yeah. Your miles could disappear, says the headline. From Travel Pulse, airlines warn of credit card bill fallout. So here's what's happened. As these bonuses and stuff for these airlines and hotels and everything get bigger and bigger, you've heard me rant on this before about how the airlines and hotels and anybody else basically has their own monetary system. They print the money or the points or the miles, and they tell you how many you need. And when they decide that the system isn't working good for them anymore, they jack up the number of points or miles that you need to redeem. And recently, we've seen a whole lot of that, particularly Hilton Hotels has been. You know, a Hilton Garden Inn that used to out by the airport used to cost 25,000 points, now regularly costs between 50 and 60,000.
Wow.
And that's like in 2 years.
Yeah.
So what they do is they give you more of these things, and then they devalue the hell out of them, and then you're basically left with nothing. So a couple of people in Congress, a Republican and a Democrat, I might add, have put forth a measure to increase credit card network competition. In many places, people who accept credit cards have only two choices, Visa and MasterCard, to be able to get into the system. American Express has a very different system. So if a merchant is taking a card from you, they have to use those interchange systems and pay those fees. Well, because there isn't a lot of competition, the fees are higher. So if you wonder... I'm in business. I don't mind telling people this on the radio. In order to cover credit card payments, our business adds 3% to the cost of our product because 80% of our people pay by credit card. We are about to institute a system where people who don't pay by – we're not going to charge extra for credit cards, which technically is against the credit card policies. But we are going to allow people who pay by check/cash – to get a discount because we don't get charged for that. So think about it. I mean, our products are not cheap. So if somebody's buying a $3,000 cruise or a tour and you're putting that on a credit card, 3% of $3,000, that's $90.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty good chunk of cash. I mean, that you might like to have as opposed to just having it flushed down the toilet. Now, of course, you use your card and now you get these miles and these points, which you redeem for something. I'm a business person. We pay for everything by credit card where there's not a surcharge because we want the miles and the points. I can share them with my staff, do all kinds of special things for people. There's a lot of use for those. But if you're a regular consumer and you're paying a 3% surcharge on those cards, then you're really not doing very well. I saw somebody today had a 6% surcharge on credit card usage. So be careful, folks. If you are in one of those situations where it says 3% discount, you must really want the points or the miles seriously to have that be of value to you. But what these two Congress people are doing is they're basically saying, let's insert some more competition into the situation so that these card fees will become a little bit more flexible. If there's a third or fourth party in here and MasterCard is getting 2.75, maybe somebody comes in and says 2.25. And now that forces MasterCard and Visa to relook at things, and even saving a half a point when you're buying a big item can be a big charge. So anyways, we'll see what happens then. One of the sponsors of this is a gentleman from Illinois named Dick Durbin. He is responsible for the last time this happened. They used to be able to charge fees on debit cards, and you got credit for points and miles and stuff. He was a sponsor of a law back almost 20 years ago, which changed that. Okay, and very lastly here, National Park situation is not getting any better. The Crater Lake National Park superintendent resigned over staffing issues. He's only got about 60% of the staffing that he had last year. He describes it as his dream job. He just got it 6 months ago, but he says, I can't serve the public the way that I promised the public I would serve them, so it's better if I step aside and someone else does this. So this is what you're going to see all over the country. The park service people, the ranger programs, the garbage cans, things like that. The visitor centers are probably not going to be open as long of hours. You're not going to have any problem with things that the concessionaire runs, but the things that the park service runs are going to be an issue. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, and we got June right here. It's June already, and we have a new special offer from our friends at Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. Check it out. Now through the end of June, offering a petite filet and a petite lobster tail combo for $34.95. No wait. It includes fresh asparagus, San Francisco sourdough, available at lunch Tuesday through Friday and dinners every night.
Wow, that's, you know, I often say here, you know, when you come to Rudy's, it isn't cheap. The food is terrific, but, you know, bring your wallet. But $34.95 for filet and lobster?
Yeah,
you'll have to do the rest of the show by yourself. Oh, wait a minute, that's only Tuesday through Friday for lunch, so I guess I can't get lunch today.
There you go. Check it out. It's going on through June, and if that doesn't suit you and you just like a little lobster tail and you want to even go a little bit less, you can ask for the Travel Guy Special. That's a $29.95 6-ounce lobster tail. We're back. Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. Okay, let's get to it, Mark.
If you are one of those folks who you get a message and you look on your phone and it says, hey, you've got an unpaid toll. You owe us $6 or $7 or $20 or whatever it is. Generally, not very much. And if you don't pay us right away, we're going to cut off your right arm.
Yeah. I've gotten those. I remember how I freaked out when I got my first one. I thought, gee, did I miss something somewhere? Are there toll fees on roads that I'm not aware of? So what's the deal?
Well, first of all, there are some giveaways on this. It always says Department of Motor Vehicles, and some states don't call their Department of Motor Vehicles DMV. They have a different name for it. So that's one clue for some folks. The writer of this article from the Washington Post contacted all 50 states' motor vehicles departments. There are none that send out texts asking you to pay for unpaid tolls. Mm-hmm. None. Zero. Mm-hmm. Don't click on it. It's a sucker move. One of two things is going to happen. They're either after your money, or they're after your information, or they're after both.
Right.
And that one little click could make your life miserable for a long time. So the text thing has become more prominent these days in scams because it has been proven that people will respond to texts immediately. A lot of people now, you know, they only check their email once a day, if that. But a text, boy, this must be something really important. Somebody really needs to talk to me. Mm-hmm. And you look at it, and you and I mean, I literally got one, Tom. This is no lie. I got one on my phone while I was writing this segment
wow.
of the program. And I busted out laughing. My staff came back in my office and says, what is so funny? And I said, well, it's just amazing that this showed up right during it. It's right on my telephone and tells me that if I don't pay them $6.99 by the end of the day today,
wow.
my insurance is going to be revoked. My car registration is gone. My driver's license, they're probably going to come over and cut off one of my big toes. So if you get one of these, just know that really and truly, and if it really bothers you, you can try to contact the Department of Motor Vehicles for the state that it's coming from.
Don't waste your time. It's fake, yeah. fake.
Yep. Very, 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 very fake. And really and truly, the message here is that if you get a text asking you for money, it's the same thing as getting an email asking you for money. So before you take any steps to respond to anything, my suggestion to you is that you find a back door to contact the people that are hypothetically asking you for your money, or at least bring somebody into the room that has the intelligence of a fourth grader and can tell you not to click on that particular link.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Okay. No, you're not going to be rung up for a toll charge by way of a text. Keep that in mind.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
Instead of talking about a destination today, I just wanted to talk about a little milestone at Sports Leisure Vacations. On Monday, our company will turn 47 years old. The odds against a company being founded and lasting to 50 years is over 75,000-1. Of all the companies that are founded, only at 50 years later, only about 1 in 75,000 will still be in business. So we're still three years away from that little milestone, but we will reach the ripe old age of 47 here soon. And we are proud to be a part of the Sacramento community to support things like public television and music circus and some of the other things that make our community better. And we couldn't have done it without the support of three generations of sports leisure travelers and a staff, my staff, that really gives a damn about what it is that they do and trying to produce a great product for people. Thank you to everyone.
Hey there, Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Don't forget, a link to our special guests and more can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Once again, hooked up a day ahead of us, consumer advocate, fan and friend of the Travel Guys, contributing reporter Chris Elliott.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
it's going well. So what can we look forward to tomorrow? I mean, since you've already lived it. We might as well.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, you're a day ahead of us.
I was looking pretty good, you know.
All right.
I'm in Okinawa, Japan, and it is tomorrow today. And I'm happy to report that tomorrow looks pretty good.
Good. Good. That's one advantage to listening to the Travel Guys is that you can find out what's going to happen tomorrow and know that, you know, nothing real awful has happened the rest of today or there wouldn't be a tomorrow. Hey, Chris, you've been on the move, right? Last time we talked to you, you were in, where was he, Tom?
He was in Japan.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So where have you taken off from Japan since?
No, I did. And so we went from Japan to Hong Kong for about a week, and I've been working on a couple of stories about wellness and sustainability. So we were very lucky to stay at some nice properties there. We stayed at the Four Seasons Hong Kong and at the Langham, and those are really great hotels. So if you have a chance to go to Hong Kong, I would highly recommend those. And then from there, we went to Taipei. So we're in Taiwan for almost 2 weeks and did the hotel hopping thing. So we stayed at a place called the Grand Hotel, which is an historic hotel just outside of town and has beautiful view of Taipei. And then we were also at the Mandarin Oriental, really excellent customer service there, and the Grand Hyatt. And then we were also at the Kimpton. So we were just, like, jumping around.
Wow, yeah.
I will have coverage of all those hotels in upcoming stories, I promise.
Oh, that's amazing. You're clearly not, don't care about hotel reward programs.
Did you find...
I am promiscuous when it comes to hotels.
Chris, did you find... you've been to Hong Kong before, previously, I'm guessing.
No, this is actually my first visit, believe it or not.
Oh, okay. Okay, because the question, that kills my question, because I was going to ask you if you found it to be different now than it was, you know, the Chinese government kind of, Hong Kong was a little more independent before than they are now.
Yes.
So based on your experience this time, did you feel like you were in Beijing or did you feel like you were in a land a little bit separated from China?
Yeah, well, I mean, of course, I was very curious about that. It's a huge oversight to have not been to Hong Kong in my entire career as a travel writer. So I needed to remedy that. But I did talk to people. What I found out is that, yeah, they're moving a lot closer to Beijing. Mandarin is being taught in schools. Cantonese is kind of being phased out, which is really unfortunate because it's a beautiful language, very expressive. But now you can get a train. If they have a high-speed train that leaves from downtown Hong Kong, it takes you to Shenzhen in like 15, 20 minutes. It's incredible. So you can get to the mainland really fast. But the whole overarching theme of this visit was politics, because it's not just Hong Kong. And really, they have a two system. They're kind of like a dual system there. And that gets phased out in about 20 years. So then the borders disappear and it's part of China. And people are very nervous about that. But then, of course, in Taiwan as well, this was my first visit to Taiwan. And there is a feeling there that there could be some, you know, issues with the mainland soon. There's been talk, a lot of saber rattling about a potential invasion. And then we had the Secretary of Defense who made comments while we were there, which was really unsettling for us, about the possibility of an imminent Chinese invasion. So people there are understandably on edge.
Wow. Wow. It's amazing how, I mean, like you said, you're a travel writer. And so you've just launched on a 2 or 3 minute serenade there, talking about literally about how travel is being impacted by the political situation. And it's same thing here. The stories now, Canadian arrivals now we're getting. We've got a couple months of statistics now, so they're down between 20% and 40%. Whether you're depending on who you talk to and how close to the Canadian border you are. I'm sure you see this also. Canadian vendors are not complaining about the lack of U.S. travelers, but U.S. vendors are complaining about the lack of Canadian travelers, and they really have taken it quite personally. So it's unfortunate. I'm hoping that it won't last a long time. That you know some of this rhetoric will either go away, but they're really offended by being, you know, by people continually suggesting that they should be first state and stuff. And I can't say that I blame them. It's becoming kind of monotonous. Hey, listen, before we go completely down the rabbit hole here, the reason that I asked you to join us was because you talked about naughty people in the sky and had a wonderful article on Elliott.org about it. And one of the things that caught me was you made some examples of who the naughtiest people were, and by state, and California made the top three. So tell us a little bit about annoying behaviors in the sky.
Well, yeah, I had a story on Sunday on my newsletter, which is Elliott Confidential, about tourists who are misbehaving. And there was a study that came out talking about how people were misbehaving more. And I thought, well, it'd be nice to just see if I can get some examples from people who have misbehaved. And I did get some fascinating examples from people who were, you know, disrobing in Balinese temples and things like that. And taking selfies with statues, which is in some countries is considered very disrespectful. But the overall consensus was that tourists, and in particular American tourists, were starting to misbehave more often, doing things that were just inappropriate or culturally insensitive. And then when that story came out, I caught wind of another study that had been done about the American, that kind of broke it down by state, that talked about which Americans were the rudest when they traveled. And I was really shocked to hear that the number one state was Mississippi, which, you know, it is what it is. But the number two state was California, where you are. I thought, oh boy.
Yeah.
And you saw that too, and you thought, okay, we got to have Chris on the show. And so here I am talking about this study. I'm as surprised as you are.
I have to ask, Chris, frankly. When you listed them, you also described, and I don't know if this is specific or you just were, I don't know, but basically you said Mississippians who lead the pack, they're demanding seat swaps and blasting phone calls mid-flight.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're in California,
yes.
We're notorious
That's right.
for armrest hogging, bringing smelly meals on board, over drinking and vaping on planes. Now, did the research go as far as to say
and vaping? Yes.
My gosh, how detailed.
Can I just say something? I fly a lot.
Well,
and I don't doubt detail, that some of this stuff happens. And I don't fly Spirit or Frontier. And I'm generally, because of status, I'm at least in the economy plus section of the plane. And every once in a while, the gods smile on me and I'm in the front of the plane. But I don't, maybe this happens more on Spirit and Frontier and stuff like that. But I don't see a lot of this, at least not domestically. I've never seen a knockdown drag out.
One.
Yeah, one.
Okay.
When I saw this, and we should say that, if in case you're wondering, third place goes to Arkansas, and they're known for cutting your security lines. Here's one that you don't see very often, clipping their nails on the plane.
No, boy.
And
yeah, that's like marginally disgusting.
The airplane mode. Where do they get this from? I mean, I didn't conduct the survey. This was done by a company called Solitaire Bliss, which is, they're trying to obviously sell games, and so they just send someone out to do this.
It's fascinating.
But I've never, to be honest, I've never seen anyone vaping on a plane. But there you go. Apparently, Californians like to vape on planes. Who knew?
Yeah, yeah. By the way, if you're just joining us, Chris Elliott, consumer advocate, joining us here on the Travel Guys. Links to a bunch of the stuff we're talking about here can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com.
I'm going to post Chris's article here because it has a list of 15 of the most annoying behaviors, again, according to Solitaire Bliss, who did this survey. But I sort of have to agree with them with the one that's up at number one, and it's up at number one sort of by itself. Putting bags on seats in the terminal.
Hmm.
This has become an epidemic. I mean, people just regularly now, they automatically put a seat a bag in the seat next to them, and pretty soon, if there's room for 100 people, there's only 50 or 60 sitting in seats. The rest are occupied by bags. So I kind of make it a point to, if there's a place I want to sit down, I just go up to somebody and say, "Hey, excuse me, but could you move your bag?" And they look at you like you've shot their dog.
No, man.
I mean, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, putting bags on the seats, being the worst, reclining the seat without asking. The seats in coach only recline 2 or 3 inches at the very most nowadays. So, and your knees are already up to your chin to start with. So, I mean, what's a couple inches? Not putting your phone in airplane mode is the third one on this list, and I absolutely agree with that one. People who insist on watching, entire movies and stuff like that without headsets on airplanes should just be, you should just open the emergency exit and let them go.
Okay.
Now tell us how you really
seems,
feel.
It seems completely
I
fair.
I like some of your suggestions. I should include those in my stories.
All right. Settle down,
yeah,
guys.
Well, asking to switch seats on the plane is in the top 10. That happens occasionally. And, when you're asking to switch seats with somebody on the plane, make sure that what you're offering is of equal value to what you're asking for. Somebody is not going to take your middle seat in 33E so that you can come up and have their aisle seat in 8C. I mean, that just is not going to happen, no matter who your wife is or what your job is or whatever. That's not going to happen. If you want to switch me, an aisle a couple rows back for the aisle I'm sitting in, or a window for a window, or a crappy middle seat for a crappy middle slide, then we can talk. But, so anyways, it's an interesting list. Mr. Elliott, the last word on the worst things you've done on vacation. You gave people an opportunity to come on, and I will invite people to go to Elliott.org and read some of what you have there. I will also remind them that is Elliott.org a completely paid website? Can you get on that for free?
No, Elliott.org is free. It's E-L-L-I-O-T-T, so two L's and two T's .org. But I do have a premium newsletter called Elliott Confidential, which is just ElliottConfidential.com. And that's where this one was posted. And that one is, you know, I'm selling. So I actually am doing a 50% off sale for a summer sale. So you can get a really good deal off a subscription.
Cool. Yeah. So if they go to Elliott.org, will they see that that offer?
No, go to ElliottConfidential.com.
ElliottConfidential.
If you can't find it, just email me. My address is there. I'll send you a link.
All right. We'll put like 100 different links on our website at TravelGuysRadio.com so that you'll be completely confused. And if you're not sure who to send the money to, why, just send it to us, and we'll make sure it gets on to Chris. Or not. Anyways, that was sort of a flat joke. So, Chris, where are you off to next? You're in Japan. You're back hanging out in Japan. So where are you guys going next?
Yes, so I will be in Okinawa for a few weeks, and then off to Korea, and then we are leaving Asia and going back to Europe for a while. So we'll be in Germany for at least a month.
Ah, okay. Is that kind of home for you in Europe? You seem to be there more often than not.
Oh, well, I kind of grew up in Germany and Austria, so it feels like home, but there's really... not really based anywhere right now, so I have a U.S. address, but I'm never there.
Chris Elliott, on the road, on the planet, thank you for your time, sir. You're always quite generous. Elliott.org is where you can find out more about what Chris writes about. I find it very entertaining. I pay for the paid website. You might consider the same thing. We will catch up with you again down the road, my friend.
You got it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. As Mark had mentioned a little earlier, 47 years old. I tell you, you hardly look a day over 90. That's amazing, you know, and Mark has been the sole owner and proprietor this entire time. You know, a lot of times a business may reach 50 or come close. But a lot of times you'll find that it was not necessarily owned and operated by the same people. Might have the same name. So it's very unique, you guys.
I can only think of one business off the top of my head. William and Glenn was one that was around in this area for a long time, the interior decorator guys. Anderson Brothers Pharmacy in Town and Country Village was there when I was a kid. And it's still there.
Wow.
Despite all of the big chain places and stuff like that have come in around them. So at Sports Leisure Vacations, I feel a little bit like that. The big chains chase after us and stuff, but we just kind of do our thing and try to do it just a little bit better than they do. And plus, we're a local company, so we can support things that matter to our customers.
There you go.
To the people who travel with us. And I think that makes a difference. I really do. After all of these years, I think it makes a difference. And you have to know that because our customers are mature travelers, people, you know, who are in their 60s, 70s, 80s, some case 90s, they age out. I mean, eventually you can't try, you know, your health will get to the point where you can't travel anymore. And, you know, you can come down from long trips to short trips to day trips to, but eventually, you know, it's the body, what the body won't do. But our customer base turns over often. But what's really cool is that, you know, we're in the third generation now. We have more than a handful of people who can trace their sports leisure history back two generations.
Yeah.
To our original first few years. And we have a whole truckload of people who are on their second generation. So it's really kind of cool when somebody tells you, yeah, you know, the librarian at my school used to travel with you.
Or a grandparent traveled with you.
Yeah, we now have at least two, I can think of, grandchildren.
Yes.
Who travel with us, whose grandparents traveled with us 40 years ago.
Kind of
cool. All right. So let's talk a little bit about this airline pricing thing. Last week, we talked about, this was a big expose. Boy, some airlines are, if one ticket was $300, just from Sacramento to Minneapolis, let's say, you went online and they offered you two tickets for $450. Well, wait a minute. That's that's only $2.25 a person. That's not $300 a person. So why would they do that? And that's totally unfair to single travelers. Mm-hmm. I mean, except that what and Ben Schlappig from One Mile at a Time pointed this out. Why it maybe not be a bad wasn't a bad thing, and we shouldn't maybe have tried to make it go away, which is what has happened. Because his point was that these didn't seem to be fares that were jacked up, but rather fares that were jacked down. So that if you had one person, you paid the normal fare. But if there were two of you and you were willing to buy the same and this wasn't on every route, on every plane. This was on very competitive routes where probably at least two major carriers, you know, Sacramento, Denver, you know, someplace that where there's a lot of competition. And so one airline did this, and then Delta started it, and then American jumped in, and United jumped in. There was no evidence that Southwest had jumped in yet, but when it became public knowledge last weekend that this was happening, Delta shut it down the first of the week. Yeah. And Ben came back and pointed out that, you know, this may be a case where the dog caught the car, because we shot ourselves in the foot here, because the airlines were offering a deal. And by bringing up to everybody that, well, hey, this is a deal and single people are getting screwed. It wasn't so much the single people were getting screwed. It was that people who were traveling in pairs were getting a deal.
Did when Delta said, oh, well, we're not going to do this anymore, did they increase the price for two people so that it would equal that one price of one individual at more?
Just in some cases, yes, and in some cases just dropped.
Okay.
The thing just disappeared. So now if you went on and you saw, instead of seeing two tickets for $450, you would see $300 a ticket, which would be $600.
Yeah.
So Ben's point, the blogger's point, was that we shot ourselves in the foot because the airlines were doing something that really gave some people a deal, and it wasn't at anybody's expense.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we put up a stink about it, why right. Then they decided that, well, we'll pull this back rather than have to fight the fight about it.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. We'll keep an eye on it and see if it pops up again somewhere down the road.
Fascinating. I never really – well, I've never flown alone. Nobody buys tickets alone very often. But had you noticed anything like that in years past?
I have never seen anything like that. Otherwise, Southwest does some promotions sometimes, but I've never seen anything quite like that.
All right. Well, let's see. We were going to mention at the top of this particular segment, we were originally going to do the travel guy's mailbag this week. We had too much stuff to cover, so we're going to put that off for another week. So next Saturday, look for the Travel Guys mailbag coming your way. And you check in at travelguysradio.com and right there on the homepage if you want to leave us your question. In the meantime.
Yeah, in the meantime. And I should mention, Tom, a page and a half of questions. So that's why I'm going to need to hold back into the program to be able to do this. In the meantime, have a great week. Travel safely and dance like nobody's watching.
All right, my friends, you stay well. We'll see you next time, Saturday, 11 a.m., here with the Travel Guys.